Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
There's always the need for blood. We're going to talk about it this morning with Alexis Innes with Red Cross Blood. Alexis, good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day month. It's all kinds of things this month, right? February, Heart Month. Mm-hmm. It Valentine's Day is this month. It's Black History Month. We have so many things to celebrate this month, and I'm so excited to be on the show today.
You were here because when you were, I think in December, we last did a show, and afterwards we were talking about when do we want to do another show, and you said, how about in February?
Yeah.
Here we are.
So February is going to be, we're at the tail end. We were just talking about our weather incidents that happened yesterday, right? How I live in Richmond. I work in Charlottesville now. And on my way into work yesterday for my blood drives, I was encountering some snow. There was no snow anywhere else.
Yeah, I was telling you. I saw it in the mid-morning on the Times Dispatch site. And I kept looking at the date and thinking, they've posted. It's the wrong date.
Yeah, they're posting something from the past, right? This didn't happen today. Yes, and if I hadn't been driving through it, I wouldn't have believed it either myself. It was so, it's fun. It was, you know, I don't know if you have ever driven through a rainstorm, you know, and it's been drenching.
Oh, yeah.
And you drive, and then all of a sudden it stops, yep. Right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, unless you're actually moving, do you ever actually watch the weather move? Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because you're usually in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
So driving a lot, you know, that happens frequently. So as I was leaving home, you know, it started, it was a nice little, I was like, oh, it'll be nice, you know, to have, you know, be able to see the snow and stuff.
And then it stopped somewhere along the way.
Well, it got really bad towards Louisa. I mean, there was a lot of snow on the road and it was so much that only one lane of traffic was really kind of clear-ish, but the other, I couldn't even see the other lane, you know, so I had to drive very carefully and, you know, try to get to my destination. And then it's like 20 miles outside of Charlottesville.
Boom.
Done. Yeah. Over. No snow at all. And I was like, wow. I mean, I hope those folks there enjoyed their maybe snow day or snow delay or what have you.
Right. Yep. Because we didn't get any here either. Usually this time of year, we're talking about, well, there's been that storm and we've lost a lot of blood drives, and this has been one of those years, not much snow to deal, well, no snow to deal with, and then was, I guess, we still have COVID still around.
We're still dealing with that triple-demic right? So people's ability to come out to see us has diminished a lot, so that's been pretty impactful. And while we here regionally haven't been as affected by weather, our neighbors have been. So I think that's the other thing, too, is, you know, working for the American Red Cross, you know, we're a national organization. So wherever there's need, and I think we talked in December about some of our disaster preparedness and some mm-hmm. of our folks who were helping out during some of those floodings that were happening in Kentucky and Tennessee and, you know, all of those areas. We support all of those folks, you know, because they're still our Blue Ridge neighbors and we're close by to be able to lend a hand. So our location is pivotal and is very important to providing service, not just to our hospitals who, you know, they don't take a snow day when it does snow. You know, they still have to provide service. There's still accidents that happen. There's still people that are needing blood and needing blood services. So being able to continue to provide those services and should, you know, our neighbors need the additional help, we're able to, you know, send that blood over to those hospital centers to provide help for those patients too. So that's fantastic.
And, you know, maybe one of your New Year's resolutions was I'm going to give blood and you haven't done it yet. Let's start right now.
Yeah, right. It's the beginning of the month again. So, you know, every beginning of the month gives us a new opportunity to, you know, revisit and relook at, you know, those commitments that we're making for the year. And yeah, you know, we talk all the time, you know, I'm a sickle cell donor and donating blood is very hard for me. And we joked last time about how my coworkers were giving me a hard time about you know what to do. You do this job. How do you not know what foods to eat and how to get your iron up?
Right.
It is very challenging. And as a mom, you know, the self-care stuff and, you know, this is what I do. I take care of other people. I don't take care of myself that great, you know? So I've had to, you know, really make a commitment and recommit to myself to eat breakfast every day, to eat iron-rich foods, to really prepare myself for blood donation. So I am making a commitment this month, since I haven't been able to donate because my iron's been too low. I'm going to recommit myself. I'm going to take my vitamin. I'm going to make sure that I'm eating my iron-rich foods. And because it's February, I'm going to invite somebody to come and donate blood with me. I'm going to share the love. So I think I'm going to reach out to maybe some family members, or I don't know if I'm going to ever get my husband. My husband said he would donate if I got him tickets to the NFL Super Bowl. And I said, honey, I'm not allowed to do that.
That's quite a, because I was thinking he'd go if you, maybe you took him to Texas Roadhouse, or
no,
you know, there's different
stakes
things.
Are very, he's one of those folks that is definitely in it for, you know, he's not in it for the t-shirt, but he's like the, you know, he's in it for the, what am I going to get from this?
Oh, I always did like to do it for the t-shirts.
Yes. I mean, whatever. Some people do it for the cookie, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, we had the broadcaster's blood drive in Charlottesville last month. Our mission was to collect 261 pints. We got 281 pints. I was very proud of
my
team
nice.
For being able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about it, you know, 281 is a huge number. It's a huge impact to our community. But honestly, it's really one day's worth of collection that we were able to do on that one day.
That's the thing.
But being able to do it, being able to have good weather, not having to have a cancellation like we did last year for weather, it was fantastic. And you know, we had some great food sponsors and stuff, and Crumble Cookies was so generous and donated some cookies for us. I don't know if you had the chance to have any yet. They're gigantic and they're delicious, super soft.
I have heard that.
And the donors were in love with it. And so, hey, you know, if you do it for the cookie, I got your cookies covered. Don't worry about it.
Now, there are different ways. I mean, in giving blood with, like you say, to take a friend with you, makes the time go faster. You have a good time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that's we've talked about on the show before, too, is how, you know, 63% of people are eligible to give, only 3% do.
Yeah.
You know, if you are a blood donor, that is how people, the number one reason why people don't donate is because nobody asked them. So if you bring a friend or introduce someone, or, you know, even if you're just there to hold their hand and help to reassure them, because sometimes that uncertainty of, what is this all about? Like, I don't understand what this is. You want to stick a needle where? I don't think so. Like, I'm not down with that. Like, that makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even like doctors. I don't even like getting shots, you know, regularly. And you want me to get a needle for what reason? It helps to, you know, give them a sense of relief that it's not that big of a deal. You're going to make more about it up in your mind than it really is when you actually do it.
Oh, it is.
And you're showing them, you know, through your demonstration of service, this is what it is. We're going to go donate. Maybe we'll go to lunch before so we can make sure that we have a good meal, or we're going to go to have dinner before, or maybe even after, you know, to replenish our blood after we're done donating. And we're going to make it fun, you know, and we're going to do it together, and I'll show you it's not such a big deal.
We're going to talk about giving blood. That's our focus this morning with Alexis Innes, redcrossblood.org. All the information you need to sign up and find out where there are blood drives in your area. And we'll continue with Alexis when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Alexis Innes here from the American Red Cross, Red Cross Blood Services, redcrossblood.org is the website. And as we talked about just this month, having people go with you is that sometimes can be the force that gets you. The statistics, though, still are just that only 3%
yeah.
give.
Yeah, I think
that. It would be so different if that were even just a little bit higher. You've told me before that even if it got to 5%,
yeah,
it would be a huge difference.
Honestly, you know, even if it's a 0.5%, a 1% increase, I mean, 1% is a lot of blood that we'd be able to provide for our hospital patients. And, you know, I think when we think about emergency preparedness, right, it's not so much just the act, it's making sure that it's available and ready when an emergency happens. So the blood drives and the things that we're doing today are preparing our blood for the weekend, you know. So when we have our holiday blood drives, we usually have lots of blood drives that are leading up to, you know, the Christmas holidays and the New Year's holidays and the Memorial Days and things, because we want to make sure that those blood units are processed and labeled and ready to go and in the hospital centers where patients are going to need them should there be something that has a need for them. You know, folks go regularly for blood transfusions. There's, you know, people have sickle cell disease, people have cancer, people are going in for scheduled surgeries and things that we know we're going to have blood needs for, but it's always those unexpected things that happen that, you know, when you're having a baby and all of a sudden there's, you know, sudden blood loss, maybe preeclampsia develops, maybe you have placenta previa, you know, those are, you know, cases where you want to make sure that that blood's available on the shelf and make sure that your patients are prepared. And, you know, certainly if there's traffic accidents, you know, or industrial accidents, we got to make sure that there's, you know, plenty and available for when tragedy strikes.
That's interesting, Alexis, because I was just going to say, we always talk about, and we experience it around here with I-95, there can be needs because of accidents. But just you talking about, I know so many people that are cancer patients that need it.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, someone having a baby.
Yeah.
Or there are just things that come up, and that's why. And the cool thing now is you can track where your blood goes.
Yeah, I love the app. I know some folks are a little bit scared of and nervous about technology. We've talked about how we use technology to organize our personal work, right? And the challenges of aging and what that means and how that, you know, changes than what we think it could be. But I love the Red Cross app. It's very easy to use.
Yeah.
You create a login, user ID login, just like you do for any other app that you use. But once you have your information in, you start donating with it, or if you've donated in the past, it will upload your donor card. So that makes it really easy when you're coming in to register at the blood drive. You don't have to bring your wallet. You don't have to bring your purse or key. You already usually have your phone with you. So all you have to do is just pull out your one device, open up the app, and then pop open your donor card, and you can scan into the blood drive, and then they know you're there. You can also do your rapid pass, which saves you about 10-15 minutes at the beginning of the blood donation process. It's going to go through and ask you all those questions, all those health history questions. You know, are you feeling well? Are you on any medication? Have you traveled outside the country? And you're able to answer that in a, you know, in the privacy of your car, or of your home, the same day as the blood drive, anywhere you are. And then you lock in your answers. And then when you go to medical interview, when you come into the blood drive, they're just going to review the questions with you. So if you said, yes, I traveled outside of the country, they're going to be like, okay, where'd you go? And then they'll log in your answers. Hopefully you haven't been to somewhere that is a deferral area for malaria risk. That's what we're really looking for your travel for, is malaria risk. But they'll log it in. They'll continue on doing your finger stick, your temperature, blood pressure, pulse, make sure, you know, all of your other vital statistics are good to go. And then you hop right over to the bed. You pump that squeeze that ball for 5 minutes, get your cookies and your juice, and you're on your way.
On your way, yeah.
So, and then once you're done donating, if you're making your appointment through the app, it's going to track your entire blood donation. So you'll be able to keep track of your numbers. If you're, you know, maybe, you know, we talked about self-care. So maybe this year it's part of your New Year's resolution to take better care of yourself and to kind of track your numbers. Maybe you have high blood pressure, you have high cholesterol, and you're trying to make dietary changes, or you're trying to do, you know, some good stuff for your health. Those numbers are in your app. And so you're going to be able to track through all of your blood donations and through your health history and see what
Isn't
is
that
my, what does my blood pressure look like? You know, am I noticing an increase? Like, have I seen anything? Is there anything that I need to talk to my doctor about? Or, you know, maybe I shouldn't take that very stressful work call before I come to donate blood, because it always gets me deferred because my blood pressure is a little too high, you know?
Yeah.
And then once you're done donating, it will follow your blood. And so you'll get a notification at the end, and you'll see what hospital center. Actually, I was at my blood drives yesterday, and one of my donors was telling me, you know, well, my blood always seems to go to Pennsylvania. Why is that? And I was like, I don't know. Well, let's take a look at your app. Let's see where your blood does go to. And as they were looking through, oh, no, it doesn't always go to Pennsylvania. One time it went to Hershey, Pennsylvania. One time it went to Mechanicsville, Virginia. One time it went somewhere in Richmond. One other time it went to New Jersey. So their blood does travel a lot of different places. And I said, you know, maybe there's something special in your blood that when we do our additional testing, maybe it's going to like a pediatric hospital that are located in some of these, you know, centers or some of these cities, since you are CMV negative, and maybe that's they're shipping, they know, or maybe there's patients that are a good match with you. And when you donate, because you're donating so regularly, so frequently, they're like, oh, if that blood's coming in, I know I have a need for it. I know exactly where I need to send it. And then that's where it goes.
To be able to know that is pretty cool.
Technology is our friend sometimes, right? It's sometimes it doesn't work as well as we want it to be, but when it does work, it's so powerful. And being able to have that knowledge and that information just is a reminder of why we do what we do, right? You might come in for the cookie, you might come in for the football tickets, but at the end of the day, that blood donation that you're making is saving a life, and it's going somewhere. And being able to track where it goes is a really nice reminder that, you know, that the love that you're sending out into the universe, you know, somebody is on the other end, you know, ready to receive it.
Yeah, I've told you the stories of where when my son was being treated for leukemia at MCV, and how he needed it, and my wife watched it, and his collar just changed, and she just sat there and said, I just prayed and was thankful that somebody somewhere had given blood at a blood drive one day, and it was helping him. And that's what you do when you give blood.
Absolutely. Some of my favorite donors to work with are my first time donors. It's incredibly terrifying for them. They don't know what to expect. They're kind of doing it to get out of class, get, you know, a free t-shirt, maybe get some juice and cookies, and
whatever way,
right?
You're still getting their blood.
Well, listen, I know that I'm building the future blood supply, right? So, you know, it's one of those, you know, adult things. It's like, I have an understanding, they don't get it yet, but just trust me. And trust, you know, if you donate four times before you graduate high school, you're going to be a lifelong donor. And that's what our mission is, really, to continue to create that pipeline, to continue to create that blood supply that will, you know, perpetuate itself into the future. You know, we're all aging, and our blood supply is aging, and the folks that have been donating, you know, that made it a part of their giving, that, you know, grew up in service communities, you know, in the 1940s and 50s, you know, post-war,
they expected to give.
It was a huge big deal. You know, everybody pitched in. It was just a part of the American culture, and, you know, there's nothing that brings people together like a war. But we haven't experienced something like that in a really, really long time. And, you know, what we have experienced recently is we've experienced this pandemic, and we've really seen, and it really helped to reveal to us the things that are important and what really matters to us. And community really matters to people.
Yeah.
And what I have found, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, is people are so willing and ready to help. They just need to know how. And this is a really easy, quick way that people can help that makes a huge difference. It's a small act, as most, you know, acts of love are, right? It's the little things that really matter. You don't have to host a 281 unit blood drive to make a big impact. You don't have to you know, give millions and millions of dollars. Of course, we appreciate all of those kind gifts, but you can just do a simple act of rolling up your sleeves and demonstrating and bringing a friend with you. You know, blood donors who have children that are of the age to donate blood, I love it when I see them come to the blood drives. I know that that's not always encouraged, and sometimes parents get a lot of pushback about that, but I'm a proponent of, hey, if you don't teach your kids how to act in public, they don't know how to act in public.
Right. What a great illustration.
So if you bring them and you show them and you demonstrate for them, this is what the process is. This is what I'm doing. This is, you know, how we're helping the community. And, you know, they will eventually become blood donors, and they will become more comfortable with the idea of donating blood, and they will make it a part of their giving as well.
Well, and so many people, we go back to what we started the show with and started talking about. As soon as you talk about blood, giving blood, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to. That's not for me. That's not for me.
Whatever it is.
Not a big deal. And I'm not one. I never, ever would look at them putting the needle in, or even look at, they would say, do you want to see what you gave? Nope, I'm good.
Yes.
You know?
I know it's been done. Thank you very much. I'm happy to watch read my audiobook or what have
you. You seal up that bag and take it and do with it what you want. So whatever you're comfortable with.
That's right.
I didn't want to see it.
Well, and I mean, so many people, you know, even just the sight of blood or the thought of blood gets people woozy, you know what I mean? And I think that even when I hear, you know, other parents, you know, when they're talking about, we have to send permission home. When you're 16, you have to have your parents' permission to be able to donate in the state of Virginia. And I hear my blood program leaders at my high schools being like, yeah, their parents didn't feel comfortable with that, you know. And I'm like, I get it. It's a medical procedure. You don't know what's going on, you know. And it can be a little frightening. But I think to remember on the other end, you know, if you haven't had a child that's ever needed blood before, if you haven't been in the situation where you've been in the hospital and you've seen how patients who are in need of blood look and feel and what a difference it makes to get. I mean, blood is medicine. And, you know, the only way that we can get it is from other human beings.
Yeah.
We can only get it when people roll up their sleeves and donate. It can't be manufactured. It can't be, it's not, you know, it's not found in the earth. You know, we can't dig it up anywhere. We can't manufacture it. It only comes from the kindness of others. And even during the pandemic, you know, when we didn't have a vaccine, we were getting convalescent plasma as a way to treat patients in the hospital that had COVID to help them recover faster. So, you know, blood is medicine. And if you have the ability to do it, which most people do now, 63% are eligible. When I first started this job 13 years ago, only 30% of the population was eligible. So, you know, we're working really hard to, you know, open up that eligibility to allow more and more people to donate, because having a diverse blood supply is important. Having that blood available on the shelf is important. And everybody has an important part to play in that.
I'm just hoping that someday they're able to say, if you had chemo like 15 years ago,
you can now
give again. I'm waiting. That's my hope. So.
Well, I had military folks who were deferred for the past decade.
Well, you were
years.
Part of an example
that's right.
of that,
and because of this mad cow thing, and I had them saying the same thing, and guess what? It did change.
Yeah.
So there's always hope.
There's always hope.
And medicine and technology help us to get there. So I'm happy for the changes that we've made and will continue to make.
Yeah. Alexis Innes here with American Red Cross Blood Services, redcrossblood.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking blood this morning, Red Cross Blood, with Alexis Innes, redcrossblood.org. One of the things, Alexis, we were talking about, well, to go back to, we were just talking a second ago about, oh, you know, I don't do the needles. I'll always say, have you ever done it?
Yeah.
And 100% of the time, well, no.
Yes.
So that's why the friend thing I think is so important, to say, hey, we'll go and do it and we'll have a good time, and like you say, we'll do lunch either before or after,
or we can get a big breakfast, or we'll squeeze the ball to see who can bleed the fastest, and then right. whoever loses has to buy breakfast for the rest of us.
That
right?
was always the thing that kept me going of having it was a contest.
That's right.
So I mean, we'd be days before I'd start drinking water.
Yes.
And
you got to eat your iron rich foods so yeah. that you don't get deferred, because if you get deferred, it's probably automatically that you're going to have to buy breakfast for
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly.
Those of us who can't give can recruit. So as long as you're bringing the people, that's what's right. important.
But so talk to people. But that is the most people. It's just like I don't even want to. Yeah. I don't even want to think about it.
Right.
And that's why the friend thing is so good.
Yes, I think that humans learn best when things are demonstrated for them. Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you
yeah.
learn to talk, it's because your parents are talking to you. Right. When you learn to eat, it's because you're watching the other adults eat. Right. So if you want folks to donate blood, you got to demonstrate it for them. You got to show them, hey, it's not as bad as you think it is. You don't have to just trust me that I'm saying this as your blood donor recruiter who really needs that blood on the shelf for the patient. You can, yeah. you now know, because I'm demonstrating for you and I'm getting in the chair with you and I'm showing you that it's not as difficult as you think it is. Needles and doctor's offices and medical procedures, and even thinking about the patient sometimes, you know, if you're not unhealthy, you know, your health is literally the last thing you're thinking about. It's mm-hmm. it's on the back burner. It's something you take for granted, right? You know, as we are aging, we think about those youngsters all the time, right? You know, they never have to think about, you know, how their knees are cracking when just, you know, just to lift themselves out of bed in the morning, you know, or, you know, they're not as aware of how important their health is. But I think us living through the pandemic and seeing that even healthy, seemingly healthy people can get very ill and can even expire helps us have a better appreciation for our health. And if you are in good health and you have the ability to share your blood with somebody, I just really encourage you to share it and demonstrate it and bring somebody with you to help, you know, the buddy system works. You know, if you have somebody that's with you, it helps alleviate your fears. It helps alleviate their fears. And then after you're done, you talk about it and you laugh about, what was I so nervous about?
That's exactly how
right?
it is.
I you know, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than what it actually was. And being able to commiserate about that is a way that we can connect with each other. And, you know, connecting through this act of service, it only takes an hour. It doesn't cost you anything but your time. And, you know, you're making one donation, one whole blood donation can save up to 3 lives, because your whole blood is made of blood, platelets, and plasma. And so each of those parts of your blood can go and save another life. So, you know, the impact that you're making is so far beyond what you could probably even imagine. And I really encourage people to think about that, you know, when they think about the fear. Someone in the hospital who's sick with blood or sick and needs blood is also afraid of needles. They're also don't want to be in a traumatic car accident. They also don't like doctors and hospitals, and probably mm-hmm. are not, you know, very happy to be where they are, but they are happy to receive that care. And part of that care is making sure that they have blood and blood products on the shelf when they need it.
Exactly. Well, and I had in the past few months had a family member that was needing blood. And it occurred to me when in either hearing about it or just even talking and saying, yeah, they need to give him a blood transfusion. And we all just say that, but do we think about, so where'd that blood come from?
Where did it come from?
It had to be there at that time.
And when people get blood transfusions, or when they say they need to get blood, it's kind of a general thing.
Right.
It might mean a packed red blood cell. It might mean several packed red blood cells. It might mean blood over the course of a week or a couple of weeks. It might mean platelet products. It might mean a plasma transfusion. Some autoimmune disorders require huge plasma transfusions. So it's not just one packed plasma, mm-hmm. It might be 10, it might be 12 that they basically kind of flush the body with to try to, you know, wash out some of those antibodies and, you know, get folks, you know, reset essentially. And so, you know, we don't realize every single packed red blood cell that person is getting is a donor. It's an individual that came and rolled up their sleeves. It's not like one person's donating 10 of those, you know, blood cells or, you know, red units. And every single gift is a gift. And once that blood is on the shelf, it does have a shelf life. It doesn't last forever. It only can stay, red blood cells can only stay on the shelf for about 42 days. And we're pretty diligent about making sure that the blood that we have coming in, there is a use for it. It is going to somebody. So it's not like it's sitting on the shelf and, you know, goes to waste or anything. We have patients that are waiting for those units and that need that blood to live. So with platelet donation, those platelets can only stay on the shelf for about 5 days. So fortunately, your body makes platelets very quickly, not as slowly as it makes red blood cells. So you can donate platelets a lot more frequently than you can with your red blood cells. So I definitely think that just making that commitment as often as you can.
Right.
You know, I struggle. I don't know if I'll ever make it to 6 times a year. I mean, that is kind of like superhero.
That is a superhero.
Human abilities.
Yes.
If I can get 4 donations, that's what I did last year. If I can get 4 donations in a year and make it like a quarterly commitment, so every season, being able to roll up my sleeve and donate, that is my mission this year, is to make sure that I can continue to do that. So that's what I encourage people to do. You know, find your frequency. If everybody who's eligible, 63%, if everybody who's eligible donates at least 1 time a year, we would never have a blood shortage. So, you know, find a blood drive, redcrossblood.org, plug in your zip code, or if you're lucky enough to know your sponsor code of what location you're going to be donating at, you can be directed directly to that sign up page. If we've confirmed those blood drives out for the whole year, then you can, you know, get your 9 o'clock slot. Come give blood every time we're at Goshen.
Get that
appointment slot,
right,
and reserve that time. You can reserve it for the whole year, and then you'll be treated like, you know, the king that you are. We'll make sure to get that T-shirt and have it ready for you.
When you go to redcrossblood.org, when you look at those sites, there are sites all over the place, and a lot of times in places you might not even expect.
That's right. Yes,
you don't always have to drive far away to find one.
You don't always have to. We were talking in the break about, you know, in the Fredericksburg, Stafford area, our blood donors have been amazing, you know, with the amazing work that we've been able to do. I love this place. I love our military community here. I love our donorship here. I love our sponsorship here. Everybody is very service oriented. And so, you know, especially during the pandemic, they said, how can we help? And I said, this is how you can help. If you have a great space that's at least 2,000 square feet to allow us to do our social distancing, to continue to keep this vital service open, because our hospitals are not shutting down. They still need our assistance. They still need blood. Please, you know, partner with us to provide those spaces. If you have volunteers, right, people that want to do good, people that still want to be able to help, we need folks to, you know, help do registration. We need folks to help, you know, recruit the donors. We still need blood donors. So the community has been fantastic. And I know I hear all the time, well, you keep telling me to come and all your blood drives are full. I don't know why you keep asking for me. Why do you keep asking? Listen, we need blood all the time, every day. Mm-hmm. So find the times, find the spot, find your place, and continue to just schedule out. I know scheduling sometimes, I'm a mom, I get it. I have 4 kids. I was the person, PK, right? Pre-kids, I never made a hair appointment. I would go to the salon. Do you have time for me today? Oh, you don't have time. Okay, well, then you must not need my business, right? I was that person. Now, I mean, I can't go and do that. I cannot do that. Not only do I not get good quality cuts, right? Because you have to settle for whoever is not booked. And
yeah,
let me tell you, the person that's booked is probably really good at their job. So you want to make sure that you schedule and book with that person.
See, I'm learning something here because I don't have hair. So this is helping me.
Yes, I'll give you all the good tips and tricks.
Blood and hair today.
Yes, blood and hair. Dentist, right? You make your appointment for the dentist.
Right.
6 months in advance. You don't even know what you're doing 6 months from now.
But
you're
make
it. You just do it because you know you need to do it. And
I'll make time for it.
And that's right. And so the same goes for, you know, donating blood. So don't be discouraged. You know, if you see blood drives that are full, that means that we're doing the stuff. And if you are that passionate, and if you have a bunch of friends, you know, if you've got 30 to 40 people that you can gather together, contact us, go to the website, fill out a form, and let us know. You know, there's lots of events and lots of things that are happening in town and lots of community things that folks are trying to coordinate and organize. And, you know, anytime we can get out there and educate people and let them know about the need, you know, that's really, really important too, to remind people of why we do what we do, and to, you know, try to get with those 63% of people so that we can, you know, remind them, hey, there's, you've got power in the blood. So come and join us, and here's some locations where you can come and join us at.
And you mentioned there's so many things that can be done with blood, and you touched on it, and we have talked about it in the past, but sickle cell is such a big thing, and in this community especially. Fredericksburg has just I know a number of people that this has really impacted their family.
I know that the sickle cell community here, especially in the past 30 years, raising awareness, having people be aware of the need of the fact that blood is a treatment for sickle cell.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we always need to be reminded, right? Like, the education piece of why we need to give and how it's important and why it's important never really goes away. And especially for African Americans, they are usually the best match for our patients because our patients are African American. So everybody's blood has special properties in it. And sometimes the best match is someone of the same or similar ethnicity when it comes to, you know, being able to specifically match beyond the ABO-Rh compatibility. And that's what happens a lot with patients who receive lots of blood. A sickle cell patient may get up to 100 transfusions a year. That's a lot.
A year.
A year, just to treat their sickle cell disease, right? Cancer patients also get lots of blood transfusions. And usually people that are in traumatic car accidents, but it's usually like a one-time traumatic incident, right? So maybe they have 25 units that I need today that I wasn't planning or preparing for, right? But, you know, being introduced to that many different kinds of donors, there are other things that happen in our body, and not all blood is the same. And sometimes when patients who are introduced to something that's not 100% compatible with them, maybe it's the right blood type, but maybe there's other antibodies that are on that red blood cell, they see it as different, and they make antigens, and they make an antibody to that antigen. I know I'm speaking some scientific mumbo jumbo stuff. It's a little bit, I don't know how to say it a different way. But
no, you understand. This is why it's one thing to talk about. Yeah, you need blood. Give it every 56 days. But it's when we've had these discussions about sickle cell.
Yes.
You understand this stuff on a different level than I do.
Yes, I'm a biologist by trade. I'm a microbiologist. I'm a blood banker. So I come from that side of the house. And so when we're talking about something very specific about, you know, matching blood products, it's not just having the right blood types on the shelf, but it's also having that diversity on the shelf of having different kinds of antibodies, antigens, things that people will be compatible with. When you're introduced to those, you make an antibody against it, I can't transfuse it to you anymore because it's going to cause a hemolytic reaction. Sometimes you'll see this happen in, it's very simplified version, but, you know, when they talk about being allergic to bees, right?
Yeah.
You can get stung the first time. And it will scare you. It will, you might have a little bit of a reaction. The second time can be the deadly time. And that's how our immunology kind of works in our bodies. It's not the first time you're introduced to it. The first time your body sees it, it makes that antibody against that foreign antigen. And the next time it sees it, it's going to attack it even harder. And that attack is what can cause you to expire. That's what can cause you to have a bad hemolytic reaction when you have blood transfusions. It's very similar.
Yeah.
So when you are getting 100, when you're being introduced to 100 different people, that's a lot to be introduced to. And in order to help ensure, you know, patients that have sickle, there's no cure for sickle cell. There's, we can only treat the disease.
Yeah.
Some of the treatments that we use are some medicines. There have been some new medicines. They all have, you know, other types of, not consequences, but you know what I mean? Reactions. You can have reactions to those other kind of medicines as well. But the best treatment sometimes is blood transfusion. And we need to make sure that we have good blood diversity on the shelf. We need to make sure that we have those products so that those patients are 100% compatible so that they don't continue to have challenges in finding matched blood products, because that's sometimes what can happen in the course of someone's life. You know, their life expectancy is shortened because we can't find matched blood for them. Mm-hmm. If we can't find blood for you and you need blood, that's a problem.
And big problem.
And our mission of the American Red Cross, right, we want to make sure that it's within our power to make sure that we have that blood on the shelf. That's what we're trying to do. So, you know, being able to reach everybody, speak to everybody, have them understand, I'm not just asking you to get a needle in your arm. I'm not just asking you to do this uncomfortable thing. I'm asking you to help me save a life, because I don't know. I don't know what's in your blood. I didn't know what was in my blood. I know that I'm O positive. I donated in high school, couldn't donate for many, many years because we lived in Germany. And then when I was able to give blood again, I said, yeah, I absolutely test my blood for sickle cell. I want to see if I'm compatible. They said, yeah, you absolutely are. You have C, E, and Kel negative blood, which is the most compatible blood type that's needed for our sickle cell patients. So I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to eat my iron. I now have like an even stronger why of why I want to give blood and make sure it's available. So, you know, making sure that I am doing my due diligence and spreading the word as, a recruiter, and then rolling up my sleeves and demonstrating for others that this is easy, painless, and is a great way to connect with my community and with other people too. And it's a great way to get away from the kids every now and again. You know what I mean?
Bottom line, I like that one. That there.
I gotta get out of the house, please.
We can talk about all these other things.
That's right.
I gotta get out. I
just need an hour, please. Can I just have an hour to myself to not hear the voices and to not have people asking me for things? Where is this? It's right in front of your face. You know exactly where it is. If I have to get up from this seat one more time and show you that it's right here.
Bottom line,
yes.
That's why.
That's right.
Some people give. If that's what you do, we'll take it.
Thank you. Yes.
Alexis Innes, Red Cross Blood, redcrossblood.org, the website. We're going to take a very quick break. It's hardly a break at all, and we'll be back and wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We've got less than a minute, Alexis Innes. So, I mean, I guess the important thing is take a friend, go to the website.
Make
Please
an appointment
give blood.
To donate blood. Download the app. It makes it really easy to track your blood and to find out what your blood type is if you don't know. Just make a commitment to do it. Just make a commitment to do it. There's plenty of opportunities for you to do it all year long, and we look forward to partnering with you. RedCrossBlood.org. Download the app and join us.
You got some things I know. Your territory is Charlottesville now, but you got some things at UVA this weekend. And
yes,
look around.
If you're a UVA alumni, this is my shout out to you. Please join us on Sunday. We have a fantastic blood drive at the UVA Alumni Hall. You can find it on our website. Just go to redcrossblood.org and plug in that zip code, and you'll be able to pull it up and make your appointment and join us there.
That's right on 29. It's right on the main drag there, the
it's
Alumni Hall.
It's right on that
hall.
Main drag. It's like right across the street from the bookstore, which is one of my favorite places.
Oh, isn't that a great bookstore?
Yeah.
Star.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
Yes. Go Hoos.
Yeah.
RedCrossBlood.org. We didn't even get into it. If you've gotten a tattoo, you can still give blood. There's all kinds of things we didn't get a chance to talk about.
That's right.
We'll do it soon.
That's okay. Yeah. You can find out. You can go to the website, and any questions you have, you can find out there too as well.
RedCrossBlood.org. Alexis Innes, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
See you later. Thanks.
All right. Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.